Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm just kind of like, wow, you know. It's great to worship, isn't it? It's great to just be in his presence and, wow, what an awesome, awesome God that we have. Hallelujah. I mean, there isn't any two ways about it. And we know that. The religious God that the world knows about, I wouldn't follow him either. People say they don't believe in God, but it's because they don't know actually what our God is like. And actually, I wouldn't believe in your God either. You know? No way. No way at all. We'll just read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 30. Have a look at this. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. We are acceptable to God. Amen. We haven't had to do anything this morning coming into church to make ourselves acceptable to him, because Jesus has already done it. He has made us acceptable to the Father. Let's read a couple more of these. Can we boast then that we have done nothing at all to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds, it's based on faith. So many people, so many Christians, a good number of you guys maybe, are trying to do good works so that you think that you'll feel that God will accept you. Even in worship, if I worship really hard, he'll be pleased with me. He'll accept me. One's right, he'll be pleased. But two, he's already accepted you. That's how you can come into his arms in worship in the way that we just have. Because Jesus has already done it. One of the phrases we use a lot in this church is, it is finished. We're quoting Jesus on the cross. It is finished. It's completed. I've done everything I need to do to bring the Father and humankind together. Amen. You are already accepted by God. Amen. And you can't even boast about it. Yeah, that's relatively good news. You are already accepted by God. Yeah. I was that excited first time I heard it too. Oh, bless. Romans 5:16, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin left a condemnation, but we have the free gift of being accepted by God. Amen. Even though we were guilty of many sins, and we all are. Let's face it, if you only sin once in a day, by the time you're 10, you've probably sinned 3,560 times. By the time you're 20, a lot more. So even if you're really good, you ain't that good. We've all sinned thousands of times by the time you get to my ripe young age. Very late 30s. And my 13th birthday is coming up very soon. I feel a curry coming on. Anyone coming? And, you know, total acceptance, because the price that was paid for you was total.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You've got total acceptance from God. Amen. Because the price that was paid for you was total. Absolute, complete. Therefore, your acceptance is also absolute, total, and complete. This is God I'm talking about. This is the incredible, awesome, pure, sinless, holy God in heaven. And yet how he sees you is probably quite different to how you see yourself. I'm going with God on this one.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, anyone else going with God on that one? Yeah? Okay, we are, it's the free gift. You haven't had to earn the acceptance.
Amen, amen, amen.
Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you've come with a friend today and you don't know the Lord. And you think, what do I have to do to be saved? The question is always, what do I have to do? Whenever you're talking about your faith with non-believers, all they want to know is can a Christian do this? And can a Christian do that? They want to know what you have to do to be good enough to be a Christian. And the answer, of course, is absolutely nothing other than believe in what the finished work of Christ on the cross. What he has done for you on the cross is ultimate. It's total. It's complete. Amen?
Yes.
Nothing you can add to it. Actually, nothing you can take away.
Amen.
It's how you enter in through your faith that makes the difference.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
So do you believe that you are totally accepted by God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes often life chucks things at us with divorces and deaths and all sorts of things that go on in life. Just kick Shona while I'm here. There's all sorts of benefits to preaching. What? I did. I'm sorry, Shona. I mean, I know from kind of bitter experience what it is. I've shared this before. I've been given up for adoption, and I was then adopted. This was before my 43rd birthday. And as a little baby, and the family I went into was actually a little bit complicated in one or two things, and you don't need to go into details, but rejection happened there again. So I was brought up very rejected by the very people that should have been accepting me. And that actually made me feel rejectable. Everyone you meet, you kind of think, who are they going to reject me? Every friendship you've had, all those things all through life, you just have that rejectable thing kind of in you and on you. It's how you see the world, and it's how you think the world sees you is being rejectable. Now, you may not have been adopted or rejected a couple of times, but other things happen. You have a really good relationship and they go, and you're gutted. Especially if you've had loads of good things happen in your life and you're not geared up for anything bad happening then, are you? You know? And for some people, you know, the children, when couples divorce and the children, it's not them that's splitting up, but they feel the guilt. Maybe some of you know that. You feel the guilt and you feel like the one that's left home has rejected you. And although you believe them when they say to you, no, it's not you, it's me and your mum, we're struggling, we're better, you know, and all that. Still the child grows up feeling that they're not good enough, they're not worthy, they're not... And they've got it half right. As humans, we're not good enough, we're not worthy. But God loves us anyway.
Amen.
However much we may have sinned and done wrong and fallen short of the glory of God,
we're
not good enough. We've missed the mark. But He, our Father in heaven, looks down with love in His eyes. Those blazing eyes, capturing us with His gaze. Oh, I love Him. Makes a bit of a difference in your life when you've had some other stuff go on that I've had.
That's right.
And that's ancient history now. And I have to stand on the word every day, actually, because the enemy knows where your weakness is.
Yeah, that's right.
And he will have a little niggle now and again. And ordinary things in life that would be nothing to other people can be big, because you're feeling rejectable. But you see, the opposite to being rejectable is being acceptable. And Jesus has paid the price for you to be completely and totally acceptable. I've come across this incredible revelation in my life. And this will change your life. Are you ready for this? I mean, this is an awesome piece of truth. The devil is evil. So I can see you're thinking that through. Is that too profound? Shall I break that down and make it simpler? I mean, I work with kids in care, and you see some of the way that these kids get battered, not just physically, but in all life throws at us. The devil is out there doing evil things. I mean, really, he really sucks. And when bad things happen in our lives, often we blame God, our Father. So, oh, where's God in this? And God's done this to me and all this. Saw on Facebook a Christian friend from abroad. I get so angry with God at sometimes because someone she knows has died. And yes, it's sad, it's awful, but it's not God that did it. The devil is evil, and one of his biggest tricks is to make us think that God does everything. It's like we believe in some kind of fate. I know a lot of Christians that do this. They believe in fate, but they call him God. Oh, it was meant to be. I know non-Christians who believe it in so strongly in fate that I've recognised it in a lot of Christians. She doesn't believe in God. And she just thinks whatever will be, will be. It was meant to be. Nothing can change that. And so many Christians think God is the same. But God has put the authority in our hands. He has given us faith. We did have a Jamaican pastor come and preach once, and he says, I'm going to preach on fiat. He was preaching on fate? But, no, it was fiat, faith. But a tricky moment there. Pastor of the church was looking worried. But so many people just have this impression that God is just immovable in the He, whatever He set for us, that's it. What happens if I fall out of... We're always worried about what we're going to do for God, not who we're going to be for God.
Yes.
Who are we going to be for God? If we spent more time thinking about who we're going to be for Him, the rest will take care of itself, you know? It will.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. You're still there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought I heard a bit of snoring then. Just going to do a quick baptism on the front here. Oh! Well, it was fuller than I thought. Sorry, Bex. That was a pleasure. I'll have a bit as well now. So the definition. I've got this great thing on the computer that it tells you how to pronounce the Hebrew. And it's quite funny because his really serious voice goes, Kari-to-o. Sure, they don't speak like that. But Kari-to-o is the word for... It's the word for accept, and it's lovely, actually, which is why I'm mentioning it, really. But he says, you know, to make graceful. When he accepts you, we're made graceful. Or in other words, I love this. This is not my words. Charming. When God comes to us, he thinks we're charming. How lovely. Oh, that's the next word, lovely. And agreeable. But actually, to God, we are agreeable. Can you imagine that? We still kind of have this impression that maybe we're still like down here and he's all the way up here and he looks right down on us. But you know what? He kind of is and he's kind of living in us.
Amen.
And he kind of loves us and accepts us for who we are.
Come on.
But doesn't leave us there, but moves us on. But accepts us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It says here to peruse with grace. Now peruse, that's just like really... It's about fine details. It's not just a blanket he puts on you of grace. It's kind of really intricate. It's really interested. It's really in there with you. When he peruses you with grace, he's really, it's a close thing. It's an intimate thing. I like this one. To compass with favour. When we're accepted by God, he will encompass us with favour. Sometimes, a lot of times when I hear people praying, people say, Lord, be with me today. You said he'll never leave you or forsake you. What are you praying for that for? It's like, Lord, give me legs. Or, Lord, you know, Lord, give me a nose. I've got one. What am I asking that for? We spend so much time sometimes praying for things that we've already got. We read the Old Testament with Old Testament eyes. But we've got and often people read the New Testament with Old Testament eyes. And you've got to learn to read the Old Testament with New Testament eyes. And the New Testament with New Testament eyes. There's all those rules in there. Are they there to make you acceptable to God? No. He has already done that. You are acceptable to Him. No matter what you've done, what's been done to you, what can be done, however lousy you feel. Oh, I hate feelings. Feelings sometimes, they just get in the way, don't they? And we do so many things because of how we feel and what we feel, rather than who we are and what we are.
That's right.
It's about time we kind of stopped and just, when we're feeling something negative and bad or we can't be bothered, just getting ourselves by the scruff of the neck and saying, look, I'm not the sum total of my feelings.
That's right.
And what I'm not going to do is allow my feelings to dictate my destiny.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow my feelings to run my life in the future.
Hallelujah.
Because whatever I'm doing today is paving the way for the next step. Wherever I am now is paving the way for where I'm going to go. And if I'm feeling like not praising God and worshipping God, which often we are, so we never do that, and we're not feeling like spending time with Him. I'm feeling more like watching Glee, which, praise God, I never do. Once was enough. But, not some more. No. And but you know, it's who we are in Christ that's going to make the difference. And when you're feeling rejectable, that's a lie. Because you've been accepted.
Yep.
And if you're like me and you've been through those tough times in your life where you've been rejected, then you know something, you will feel rejectable, possibly even on a regular basis. But does that mean that you're rejectable? No, because you have been bought by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You are now a saint.
Amen.
You are now a holy one of God. Amen. You are now a champion of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
And there is nothing that is going to hold you back.
Amen.
Except you saying, oh, I'm feeling a bit rejectable. They don't really like me there. Oh, what's that lie? There's no love in that church. That is a lie.
What?
It's just this theatre, you know, it just brings it out in me, lovies. It's a lie! Alas! Poor Yorick. He felt no love. The Bible says that He has shed abroad in our hearts His love. That's every one of us here has got the fullness of the love of God inside them.
Amen.
Therefore, there is love in this church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The truth is different to often how we feel.
That's right.
And if we're feeling rejectable, even though we're acceptable, then we're going to come across that now and again, aren't we?
That's right.
Oh, they don't really love me there. You actually start taking take notes of how you're feeling and when and why. It makes absolutely no sense at all. But in your feelings, it makes complete sense.
Yes.
But actually, they're bonkers.
That's right.
Ah, hallelujah. So whether you're feeling rejectable, the truth is you're acceptable. Therefore, He encompasses you with favour. So if you're not feeling like you've got the favour of God on you, tough. You've got the favour of God on you. He has compassed you with favour. Jesus has already done that. He has compassed you with His favour. Oh, there's another one here. To honour with blessings. You see, you thought being accepted meant God kind of likes you. Kind of does. But it kind of means a whole lot more. For God to accept you, it's these four things. And to honour with blessings. God honours you with blessings. God honours you with blessings. He encompasses you with His favour. It's there whether you like it or not. If you go off on a grump for a few days away from God, it's still there. Because He loves you and He is there for you. Amen? Hallelujah. This is, again, it's good news, but you heard that last week, so I'm not copying anyone. So the good news is the good news. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Can we just go to Ruth for a bit? I spent a bit of time there last year, I think. It was good. You want to hear a good message, you know? Try and find my one about Ruth. It wasn't half bad, that one. One of my favourites, that one. I tell you why, it's because I didn't quite know what I was doing the whole way through. I had these sort of notes, and God just sort of exploded, and it meant something to everybody who was here, and it was just a... wasn't just what I was... I wasn't teaching, it was just God speaking. It was, you know, so it was really good. Anyway, it's not like that today, is it? Boring today. No one's hearing from God at all, are they? Hallelujah. Right. Oh, it's a lie, isn't it? Oh, take that thought captive. So, I've actually got a reader. What we're going to do, just go through a little bit of Ruth chapter 1, but just to set the scene, this is people of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've conquered most of the land that they were promised. They never actually conquered it all, if you read. It's probably why they had all their problems, because they never went to their full destiny. They were supposed to. Israel was supposed to stretch into up to about Baghdad and encompass all those countries, and they never took a hold of their full inheritance. That's interesting, because sometimes when we're not fulfilling our full destiny, that's when the problems start in our lives. That's when we start getting distractions and stuff, and that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. So what happened then was that God removed his covering off them, and the enemy came in and ruled them for a bit. And then they would then cry out to God, and he would raise somebody up, and they would come and do the next thing. And they would rescue them, and for 40 years or so, they would be run by an Israeli. And then they would start to sin again and go on their own way. And there's this really sad cycle all the way through Judges. Lots of battles, and if you read it in the King James, it's really depressing, because everyone gets slaughtered, I think, is the word they use a lot. It's very nice. And if your DVD's not working, just shut your eyes and listen to someone reading Judges to you. It's good. And this story happens in that. And it's during a time where there was famine in Israel. And so there was a lady. Go on, read chapter 1.
Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband.
Right. So that was a bit of a bad do, really. She lived in Bethlehem, which was actually, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So she lived in the house of bread, but when times were tough, she ran. And she took herself out from underneath the covering and the covenant that the father had placed in them and went to live somewhere else. Yeah. She thought, you know what, it's not working for me there. We're going to go somewhere else. Now, I'm told on reliable information that the word Naomi, the name Naomi, means pleasant. Well, I'd have to tell you that. Pleasant one over there told me. She could have said anything, couldn't she? What does Naomi mean? It means wonderful princess. Receiver of much money. No. Receiver of much cake from Dad. And she went to this foreign place, and actually for a little bit it went well. It wasn't that far away. It was like living in England and moving to Wales, I think. Probably rained more as well. And when they were there, disaster struck. And in those times, there was actually no social security. There was a system. The only country that had any kind of system of support for people was actually Israel. All the other countries would have let them out to die or sold them as slaves or whatever. But in Israel, God had already put something in place to protect people that got into this situation. Which is why Israel prospered when they followed the Lord. And when they were, just like any other nation, when they turned their backs on the Lord. So, it's a bit of a sad story. And she's left three widows in a place where there's no help for them. They're just beggars on the street. So she decides, well, she's going to go home. She's going to go back. So all three of them, because they'd lived together for 10 years, they just got up and went. And halfway back, Naomi's saying, hang on, girl, you don't want to come back with me. You'll be better off finding yourself a bloke. Go on, take me out. Find yourself a bloke, and you'll be fine. And Orpah thought that was actually quite good, because she quite liked Take Me Out. So she thought she'd go on it and try her chances. But Naomi was like, no chance. No, I'm not doing that. I want to go where you go. I want to be where you are. I want to die where you die. I want your God to be my God. Your people to be my people. It's awesome. So then Naomi, as a foreigner, then goes back to Israel. Ruth goes back with her, with Naomi. Is that you? Keeping tabs on me. Thank you, Hannah. Then what happened? Verse 19 of chapter 1.
Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened that when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me.
Isn't that amazing? She's come back. Oh, don't. Oh, here we go again. Oh, don't. Woe is me, for I am undone. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Call me Mara, bitter. That's my new name. I think she was a little bit down. And you can't blame the girl, really. I mean, she had a tough time. But why was she so down? Because she believed, with all the stuff that had gone on in her life, God was against her. Now, yeah, she'd gone out of the covenant, but look how wonderful the celebration was when she came into Bethlehem. They were celebrating the fact that their long-lost cousin has turned back and come back to them. And with, I don't know who that is with her, but anyway, well done, Naomi's back. And she just couldn't accept the welcome back. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. If you know the story of Ruth, she spends a bit of time, Ruth does, thinks, well, I'm going to get up and go. Seems like a happening place where the people of God are, so I'm going to have a go. I'm not one of them, but I'm going to get in there and try my bit. And she did, and she worked really hard, and she found favour with Boaz. It's a wonderful story. It's full of pictures of how God sees us and how God responds to us. But just in verse 20 of chapter 2, yeah, I don't know.
Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness, the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives.
Thank you. Her attitude's changed, hasn't it? Suddenly things are going better for her, and she's praising God again. Somehow God is not against her anymore. What's changed? Because she hasn't done anything. Ruth's done all the work. And suddenly her attitude has changed. That's because God never changes. And our circumstances and our situations might go through the pits. They might be awful things that we go through. But God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and
forever.
Hallelujah. He does not change.
Amen. Amen.
So if he loved you and accepted you yesterday, work it out. Amen.
Amen.
If he loved you yesterday, if he was for you yesterday, you might step out of that, but he'll be there waiting for you to come and step back into it. How can anyone not love our God? There is no God like him under heaven and earth. There is no one like our King. All the other gods that aren't real anyway, but they seem to want to take off you all the time. All they want to do is deplete your life, make you make silly decisions and all sorts of things. People think in this country how wonderful it is to be Buddhist. You get Buddha everywhere, don't you? You're going to a veggie cafe and you've got this little fat dude with a nice hat and stuff, you know, and what's he doing here? It's England. You go back to where he is the controlling thing, like places like Thailand and Cambodia and places like that. They're in utter wrecks, in absolute poverty, and people debasing themselves for this little fat dude that never wanted to be worshipped in the first place, actually, but that's beside the point. People think it's quite cool, with, you know, since the Beatles, to maybe get into a little bit of Hinduism. Ah, it's great, you know, why not? You go back to some of the temples in India and you see the filth and degradation around those temples. That's what they attract. That's what the centres are. Won't mention the so-called religion of peace, as they call it. Never judge a Muslim by Islam, but don't judge Islam by the Muslims, you know, either. You know, people that are seeking God. I praise God that every year they set aside 6 weeks to seek God. And a lot of them actually find him during that time. Muhammad actually said to them, you've got to read this, you've got to read the Gospels, the Book of Isa, you must read them. So I know, I've known missionaries that go around giving them. I said, the Book of Isa, Muhammad says you must read this. And they give them the Gospel. You know, there is hope right around this nation, right around the world. Amen. Hallelujah. But I think we've got the point. It's a free gift. It's by faith. All you have to do is believe. It doesn't change. You are accepted. Amen. You are acceptable. And if you are feeling rejectable from time to time, it is just a feeling. Because if you've come to Christ, you are totally and utterly 100% acceptable to God.
That's right. Amen.
And that's why you can come in here and from the first note, you're raring to go. Because you know you haven't got to work yourself up into some kind of holy role, into a place where, oh, God accepts me now. Yes, I'm going to worthy worship. No, from the moment you wake up in the morning, while you're asleep even, God accepts you. Hallelujah. He's a great God. He's a great God. Hallelujah. You know, I've got no idea what the time is. It could be 1:30. It's 2:30. Oh, sorry. Should be out by now. Hallelujah. I just want to bring you one more scripture, and it's from Matthew 24. And this scripture's been on my heart, and it kind of fits in and kind of doesn't, so I'll bring it anyway. Some good like that. Matthew 24 talks an awful lot about the end times. And there's a lot of theories about the end times. I think some of them are more akin to Star Trek than reality. But one thing's for sure, the Lord is coming back. And if he was coming back soon 2,000 years ago, he's coming back even sooner now. Okay, so we're to plan as if he isn't and to live as if he is. Amen? Did you get that? Was that too quick? We're to live as if he's coming tomorrow. But we're to plan as if he's not. Yeah? Maybe he'll come in another couple of generations, but let's live like he's coming tonight. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a scripture here that in verse 12 and 13, one of the first scriptures I ever learned, it's just been on my heart recently, so I'm going to bring it. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Don't take anything for granted. You may be there, think, you know, but God is there for you always. Yeah. Amen? Don't throw it away. Don't let what's going on around you make your love grow cold. Yeah? Amen. I mean, it talks about increase of wickedness. The word actually means multiply. And we can see around us the kind of wickedness that is multiplying. How different is this country now to what it was 20 years ago, even 10 years ago? It's incredible. The word love here is the word agape. And a lot of us know what this word is. The Greek word, sorry. There are four main Greek words. So I know some of you won't know this. So there's four main Greek words. that they would use for love. In English, we just use love. But in the old Greek language that the Bible was written in, there's four words, and one of them is agape. And that it's an awesome word. And it's one of the hardest to translate accurately because it's such a deep word. But it's how actually you love somebody, the object of your affection. You esteem them so highly that you would maybe even die for them. It's a really powerful word because it's not just normal love that we have amongst ourselves that's humanly possible. It is a kind of a supernatural love. And that's good because it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that agape never fails. So if you don't want to ever fail, get into agape love and start to draw on the love of God inside of you to do situations, to deal with people. Because we all work or go to college or school with unlovable people and we need the love of God within us. If church is operating properly, we should be going to church with some unlovable people. And we need the love of God. If everyone's nice and we like everybody in church, we've not got the right people in here. Actually. There are going to be... Yeah, I know. But you know, this agape love, it esteems and lifts up and honours the person you're loving. And yet expects nothing back. And because of the increase of wickedness, that kind of love can grow cold. In fact, the wording in there, it's like blowing a cup of coffee cold. It's a gentle blowing and it gets cold slowly. Don't really notice it. I hate that when you've had half a cup and you leave it for a bit and you go back. And it's, ugh, you know, don't really notice it going cold. But it does. So with an increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Are you going to be one of the people, despite being accepted fully by God, are you going to allow the increase of wickedness to blow your agape cold? I heard a no whispered. One or two of us are not going to let the increase of wickedness blow our agape cold. It's tough when you're dealing with people and they despise you back. And you've still got to love them. And you've still got to draw on that love of God. And you're expecting nothing back. But it's nice when you get it back. But actually, we should expect nothing back when we're operating in the agape love of God. The God kind of love. That is what is going to change this world. Prophecies and tongues and good worship meetings are useful and they're fun. But what's going to change this world is the thing that changed our lives. And that's the love of God. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do we so love the world? We don't have to give our only son. It's all right. That's been done. But do we so love the world? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end. Are you going to be someone who stands firm to the end? Even when it's really tough and it's difficult. Hallelujah. Amen. I did a massive long journey on Friday. I've managed almost the whole message without mentioning rugby, but here we go. Drove all the way up from Devon on Friday, and I got in, and it was about 9:15, so I put the Sky TV on, Sky Sports on, and there was Warrington playing against St Helens. And you won't know this, most of you, but it's the one team, Warrington, that's my home team, Warrington cannot beat. We never ever beat them. Ever. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We can beat anybody on our day except St Helens. And yet on Friday night, I came in, half an hour of the game to go, 24-0 to Warrington. Come on! I'm like, forget packing, forget kids, have a lot of the car, don't care, we're up 24-0. Never, oh, it's amazing. But the last 10 minutes, they scored three tries. And in the end, it was 25-18. We got to drop goal just to make them work harder. But what a comeback. Why on earth was St Helens bothered about scoring tries? 10 minutes to go, the game's lost. Hold on to the ball, don't let any disasters happen now. Not a chance. St Helens are champions. They're winners. They haven't let their love of the game grow cold just because they're 24-25 nil down. And they nearly did it. They've done it before to us. So I was a little worried. I'm thinking 3 minutes, two tries. They could still do it. Because they're that kind of team that will rise up. There's something they find in them that rises up. And they're that's why they're usually a champion team. And for some reason they have it in for us. Because they usually use it most on our team. They're not Friday. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're a champion team. Amen. I was thinking during the week, one of the things of being a Premier League group of people is that we get Premier League opposition most of the time. You know? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? I think you are. Hallelujah. We're a strong, resilient bunch here. We're hardcore in our platoon. Hallelujah. And I don't think we're going to let the increase of wickedness let our love grow cold. Can we stand, please? Oh, let's just close our eyes. Let's just start to pray in the Spirit. Or if you're not yet released in tongues, just say thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Just worship a little bit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you're one of those people right now that's in the building, in this room, that often feels rejectable, that finds it easy to feel rejectable, just want you now to speak to your Father in heaven and just thank Him that you have been made acceptable. Just thank Him right now. I mean, everyone can thank you. It's great news for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
But particularly those people that struggle with this. Thank you, Father, you accept me. You have made me. It's something you've made me. It's something I wasn't, and you've made me acceptable to you. It was nothing to do with me. There was nothing about me. There was nothing that I could do, only what you could do. All I could do was believe in what you have done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have made me acceptable to you. And I just grab a hold of this lie of being rejectable. And I just speak out now. You speak it out quietly, but I just speak out now. I am no longer rejectable. Whenever I feel rejectable, I am not rejectable. I am acceptable in His sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just wash away. Well, I know the flesh is going to just remind me now and again that I have been rejectable, but right now and from now on, I declare the truth that I am acceptable to my Father in heaven, and there is nothing I can do to make me less acceptable. Hallelujah. There are things I can do to put a wedge between us. There are things I can do to ruin my life and derail my life and pollute my life. But there is nothing I can do that'll stop me being acceptable to you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I don't want to be polluting my life with the wickedness the world gets into. But Lord, I want to believe how acceptable I am. It does matter what I do. It does matter that I pollute myself, because you've made me pure and holy. The end of the verse I read out to begin with finishes with saying, I would be made pure and holy, blameless in His sight. Thank you, Father. That's you. That's you right now. You are blameless in God's sight. And that little phrase, in God's sight, isn't just something to sort of excuse it from reality. That is the reality. God is our reality. The supernatural is our reality. Earth is the thing that's passing away. Our physicality is the thing that's passing away. God is here forever. He is here forever. And what He sees is here forever. And He sees you acceptable. He sees you pure. He sees you holy. Oh, Lord, you're great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, Father God, that I am one of these people that is not going to be affected by the increase of wickedness in this world. I'm not going to be like Naomi in the Bible, who saw all sorts of things happening and assumed it was you doing it to me. but I'm going to trust in you when we go through bad times. I'm going to trust in you when I go through good times. Hallelujah. My love for you and my love for my brothers and sisters and my love for the lost is not going to grow cold. Hallelujah. It's not going to grow cold.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to stand firm to the end.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I am saved and I'm going to be saved. And I am going to stand firm to the end.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for a wonderful time together with your Holy Spirit, with your presence.
Amen.
We love you. We cherish you. Father God, speak to us during the week. Remind us of stuff. Help us. Give us strength. Hallelujah. Not just to overcome problems. I want to thank you, Father, we don't go from problem to glory. We go from glory to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And get us to a place of glory and lead us on from there. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's mighty, powerful people said,
Amen.
Come on.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.